It's hour two of Overdrive, TSN 1050, up on TSN 4. Annie Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes. Noodles O-Dog with me here. I'm filling in for the next 2 days.
Good for Hazy B. Hopefully he's enjoying some downtime.
Did he go anywhere? Or is it just like sitting
he
on?
He better have. He better have.
I thought
that he wants to sit in Whippy for 4 days and do nothing. He should be in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he is. I was texting with him earlier about something. I can't remember where he said he was, but I think you're sticking close to home. I mean, you don't enjoy a staycation. Is that what they're called? A staycation where
you can get compensated too now if you stay in Ontario. I think it was part of those like a COVID thing in order to get tourism going back in Ontario again, that if you vacation here, you can write some of that off at the end of the year.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
It's a nice little tidbit. So if you go up to Muskoka, then you can you can write that off. Are you
My
sure?
My life will be made now.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure. Wow. There's incentive.
I was just
going to
say, look at that, because you go up to Collingwood all the time. There you go. See,
I'm just glad I met my wife, because she made it very clear that we're traveling and I don't want to be with someone that doesn't travel. I was committed to like Ontario only the rest of my life.
Come on now.
Drive to Noodles knows. I used to drive everywhere. Drive to Florida.
You didn't fly. I know that. You never liked to fly.
No. Oh, take us through the routine. I can't remember, though, because you sent a picture in the group text one time. There was a guy on the train or something.
Yeah. I used to drive to Washington, D.C. on the night before. I'd stay in a hotel. This is the routine. Stay in a hotel the night before or like somewhere just outside of Pittsburgh. I used to stop at this place. There was a pub across the street. I'd have myself a time there. Get up really early in the morning. Drive for a 9:30 train from Lorton, Virginia, just outside of D.C. The train would leave in the morning. It would go all night, and you'd wake up, and you'd be in Orlando, this little dump city around Orlando. I got to think of the name of that little town. And then I would drive from Orlando to Lauderdale or Miami, wherever I was going. That was the routine. And I think about it now. I just think how, because you could be there in 2 hours.
2 hours and 45 minutes door to door.
What did it take you?
That's 48 hours, like three days of my life.
Gross. No.
I remember J-Mac one time when we went down for the draft in Fort Lauderdale. He's like, when are you going to be back? And I was like, 3 days from now.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I'm like, well, I got to get on the train.
Drive to Orlando, go to this dump city, take the train, go in.
But do you fly now?
Oh, yeah, anywhere. Anywhere and
so
everywhere.
You're good now.
Yeah.
When did that start, because I would be on the charter
I just
with
never
you all
liked
the time.
It. Yeah, I never liked it. It just was one of those things and bad anxiety and flying. It was almost like I had this experience when I was flying from Mexico to Dallas, and I just had a panic attack in the middle of the flight. And I don't know if it's because of what I was doing in Cancun for 10 days or what, but I freaked out. And I wasn't afraid of flying. I was afraid of that happening again, flying. Right. I think. I mean, I don't really know or understand the psychology behind it, but I hated it. And when I was like done for the came home for the summer, I was grounded. I didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But now I really enjoy it. I love getting out and going places. Especially for like the World Juniors. I'm not driving to Vancouver.
No, you got to fly. But it just, like, I always think of flight attendants where, you know, those flights out of Vegas, like going in, it's a party. Everyone's dancing and everybody's great. The flights out of Vegas, people have lost
their life.
Their life, like their money. They've been drinking for 4 days straight. Like, I remember flying next to Jason Strudwick one time, and the flight attendant came over and said, are you okay? He had sweat right through a sweater. Like he was, because he had been drinking for 3 days straight, and he looked like we had to stretch him out of there. And he was beside himself. And the lady's like, can we help you? Like, what do you need? I can't imagine some of the stories that leaving Vegas where people you know, they're just, they've had a time and now they're crashing and burning as far as, you know, their body coming down or their high coming down from drinking or whatever. Like,
and you smell. Like, let me tell you something. As someone who's had the misfortune of sitting next to somebody who had a time,
Yes.
I mean, it was like, take a guess what that smell was, because everything was colliding from, I could tell, alcohol, cigar, vomit. Yeah. I was just like, why am I sitting next to this idiot? Like,
yeah,
I just,
I love it.
Stinky. But you know what? Oh, in all seriousness, I mean, I feel you, because especially when you've been on a plane a lot, sometimes it means you've just been exposed to a lot of things on a plane too, and it can really freak you out. And I can't imagine having a medical episode on a plane and not being able to get to a hospital. I feel
half
like
the, half the time I expose different people to things on a plane, Andy. It wasn't the other way around.
Jeez.
Anyway, let's get to Craig.
It's a story for another day.
No, let's about like clothes off. I'm just talking about
I know.
The nonsense. It was usually me doing the nonsense.
The smells.
Exactly. It was usually somebody like me spraying Lysol on somebody like you. Someone who has proper airplane etiquette, I know because we have discussed it, is our good friend here, Craig Button, TSN Hockey Director of Scouting. How's it going, Craig?
It's going great, Andy. I got to tell you, I get on the plane, I just get into my little space, and I just try to be comfortable in it. I don't want people in my space. I don't get in their space, and I'm polite. But I'll tell you what, you want to get into my space, there's going to be hell to pay. There's all kinds of tricks I have. I have all kinds of tricks.
Craig, there's a horrific video. Joe from the Bridge, please find it for me. It's a lady changing the channels on the iPad computer screen with her toes, her bare feet, and people are taking videos saying, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
What's wrong with her hands? What was she doing?
She's just being lazy. She had her legs crossed, like kind of up on the, like she was in the first seat, and you know the like the movie screens you can watch.
Yeah.
And she was flipping the channels with her toes.
That's
other
tough.
People hanging their underpants up to the dryer. It's just people are.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, that's just well. Anyways, is it, you know, Craig Button joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I know a pet peeve both of you and I have, Craig. Is the people going to the bathroom with just like their socks on? Or no, remember, we've discussed this. Because let me tell you something. Half the time, that ain't water on the floor. Put your shoes on.
Well, imagine if that lady went in her bare feet and then touched the screen. Listen, I can always say this, too. One of the best things, but now with airline travel, the bacteria cleaners, right? And everything, the wipes. And I'll tell you what. I mean, now I get in there, I wipe the screen, I wipe my handles, the armrests, everything gets wiped down. But I'll tell you what, like, you know, there's people that get on the plane and they think it's their own personal space and they're by themselves. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've seen these, Craig. You can buy those tiny little Lysol cans. Like, I've got the tiny little travel spray can, and I spray my whole seat down and wipe it down. And I've got a little routine to get on the plane because you and I travel so much, so you got to make sure that you at least feel like in your mind. I think they clean it and that, but I think just for your own personal space,
you gotta
like
do
I get
your
in
own
and clean
thing.
It up exactly.
You got to do your own thing.
I like the spray idea because I might just keep it. And if somebody puts their seat all the way back, I'll just start spraying the back of the screen and happen to miss and get it in their hair.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Of content. Listen, I get you want to put your. Okay, I'm just going to end this here. I get you want to put your seat back, but you know what I hate is when they don't give you the heads up. And my glass, like my water or my wine is. And then they just go, and they put it back. And then they don't even realize that they just spilt everything over you. And I'm like, you jerk. All it takes is one little turn going, hey, I'm going to put my seat back. Thanks. You know, make sure your wine doesn't go flying. Idiot.
Andy, I'll tell you this. You know what I do to people that do that? Mm. I automatically put in my head, okay? Like, that's how you're going to act. Now I make sure that I get up and fake going to the washroom multiple times. But when I get up, I grab the back of that seat and pull myself up, and I make sure that I yank and pull with all my strength. And, of course, they might be sleeping, and they turn around, and I go, oh, sorry. But I do it every time.
Sorry,
you want to keep your
sorry.
Seat back
it's
in my
veteran
lap?
Veteran move.
I've got
a veteran move, Craig.
I've kind of got a greasy move for that to combat that as well. I don't know if I want to share it, but I will share it. You always have a bottle of water, right? A big bottle of water. What you do is you put it in the pocket in front of you and you jam your knee into it so that jams into the small of their back and it pushes the seat forward.
Okay, I like
So it's
these
like
tips.
A leverage situation.
Guys, we should do an airplane etiquette podcast.
Yes.
Greg, I got to ask you, we have to get to hockey here and get this back on the rails.
No, more airplane.
And it's a simple question. Are the Calgary Flames done?
Yes. Ooh. And the reason I say that is, I'm saying it based on how well the Edmonton Oilers are playing. And, you know, I know after game three, the Flames talked about, oh, yeah, we're getting beat by one player. To me, that was a lack of understanding that you're getting beat by more than one player. You're getting beat by a team right now. And, you know, think about the winning goal the other night. And I talked about it on SC, Jeff, is that, you know, you look at the play, how it starts in the defensive zone. CeCe wins a puck. Yamamoto wins a puck. Nugent Hopkins gets the puck. Hyman wins a puck. Yamamoto wins a puck. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets inside position, game over, game-winning goal. That's been going on really from about the 10-minute mark of game two. I think Jay Woodcroft has made some incredible adjustments, but his players are like they weren't in the fight in game one. They've been in the fight. And you guys know about what the playoffs are about. The playoffs are not about coming close. It's not about being almost there. You got to be there. And I think the Edmonton Oilers have been there more than the Calgary Flames. Now, can the Flames win tonight? Yeah, they could. But I don't see them beating the Edmonton Oilers at this point in time, three straight games. I just don't.
Craig, I got the guy's opinion on this. And, of course, Daryl Sutter being, you know, asked about, you know, the effort and kind of, I guess, what's going wrong with Calgary. And his response was, you know, there's nothing wrong with the effort. Sometimes the other team is just good. Like, did it ever occur to you that maybe the Edmonton Oilers are just better right now? What did you make of those comments?
Well, first of all, you got to understand with Daryl and Jamie, you know Daryl very well. There's always an honesty with Daryl, but at times there's also a sarcasm to it based on how the question was framed. And you better be able to differentiate, you know, what was the honest part of it and what was the sarcastic part of it, you know. And sometimes people don't get the nuance of Daryl. It's as simple as that. So without hearing it, Andy, hard for me to comment on it. I will say this, is that, you know, when you look at it and you watch a team playing as well as the Edmonton Oilers are playing right now, you know, I think Daryl recognizes, hey, we got to be better. And certainly that's what you have to do come playoff time, certainly when you're in an elimination game. And at the same time, you know, where he might offer a little bit of a sarcastic tone might not be reality. It's just more more about his personality and just keeping everybody a little bit on the straight and narrow to just like, yeah, I know, but like, you know, take this for what you want to take it for. And if you don't take it right, guess what? You're the one that's going to look like a fool.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it with Daryl and his personality. Everything's got an angle. Everything's got, you know, a message. And he's a calculated guy. He's not somebody that just shoots from the hip. Everything that comes out of his mouth has a, you know, an undertone to it. And for me, Craig, we were talking about it earlier. I think it's simply, if we're talking at the end of the game and you're doing your post-game hit tonight and you're saying, Johnny Gaudreau or Jacob Markstrom had a great night. I mean, is that when we're talking about a Calgary Flames win? Because ultimately, I don't know if their top players have really entered into the series in a positive way yet, other than that first game.
Yeah, you know, and we look at Jacob Markstrom, Jamie, and we know he had a, you know, he's in the Vezina Trophy contest. He's not going to win it. Shesterkin's going to win it. But, you know, like you're one of the three finalists. He was terrific in the series versus Dallas. But even in the game one victory, he was sloppy. And, you know, Jacob Markstrom is a really good puck handler. He got the Flames right in the soup with his puck handling in game four. You know, 21 seconds in, you're down and you're kind of going, oh, geez. And, you know, I think for Jacob Markstrom, we know that he's capable of playing at a higher level. He hasn't played close to the level he's capable of. And yeah, there's been some fantastic goals by the Edmonton Oilers, but he hasn't been the goaltender that we saw in the last series or certainly during the regular season. And he's got to get close to that level. You know, Johnny Gaudreau has had some real good chances and some real good opportunities. I think the other thing, too, is that when you look at the Calgary Flames, the way Edmonton has defended the interior, the inside part of the ice, you know, I think the Calgary Flames have to do a much better job of not holding on to the puck outside. Johnny's had the puck, but it's been on the outside. You've got to be able to get the puck inside. And, you know, if they don't find a way to do that, and certainly your best players have to be able to do that, either carrying the puck in there, attacking into there, making passes into there, you know, that's a big area for Johnny Gaudreau, who is more than capable of doing the things I just mentioned.
Craig Button joining us here on Overdrive. Are you concerned at all with Edmonton's goalkeeping? Because, you know, it always comes down to the goalkeeper, or goalie. Sorry, I've been talking soccer for a while. The goalie, they always say that's the key. That's right there. When Vasilevsky's on, he's completely on. I mean, Shesterkin with the year that, you know, he's had and, you know, carrying on in the playoffs. By the way, they play Carolina, New York and Carolina locked at twos. Are you concerned at all with Mike Smith, or are you just like, nah, he's good, everything's fine?
Yeah, during the season I was. I'm not anymore. I think that, you know, the faith that Ken Holland showed in Mike Smith has been rewarded in really good play for the Oilers and really good play for himself. There's going to be times in every series and in games where you're not at your best. And, you know, no team is going to win 16 games in a row with stellar play in every area of the game. So, you know, you go back to the LA series, you know, he had some moments. But all in all, you know, when it mattered, his moments were real strong. I think it's been the same here in this series. Yeah, he got pulled in game one. I think a real defining moment of this series was when the Flames got up 2-0 in game two early on. And everything was looking like it was going to cascade against the Edmonton Oilers. I thought the Edmonton Oilers from that point really rooted in. And Mike Smith rooted in. I mean, you go back to game four, even at 3-2. I mean, he made some really strong saves long before that long shot. And Jamie, shout out to you. I thought you did a great job showing how that goal could go in, you know, from a distance and, you know, players passing through. And it was the perfect storm to me. But I think Mike Smith has shown that, like, hey, listen, that went in. I'll be ready for the next one. And he hasn't done it just once. He's done it through the course of these playoffs and down the stretch of the regular season. So, Andy, I would say my concerns are certainly not anywhere near as high as they were at different moments during the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he's been fantastic when he's needed to be, and I thought the team was resilient after he gave up the goal from the parking lot, because you know, I think in previous years we would have seen that team crumble. And, you know, they found a way to just, you know, like you said, get inside ice. Guys that were on the ice win loose puck battles, and RNH gets the game winner. And, you know, that's the difference in a team's mental resolve and sticking with the system. And where I want to go with this, Craig, is last night I felt bad and was sick to my stomach for Nathan MacKinnon, because I thought he had delivered his team into the third round with that goal, go-ahead goal with 2:45 left in the game, and his team couldn't get it done defensively. You know, St. Louis made this a series now. I mean, because I thought Colorado was going to be through here, and they found a way to get it done.
Well, there was every reason to believe that Colorado was going to be through. Not only just at 3-0, but when MacKinnon scored that goal right after St. Louis had tied it up, you think, okay, this is the end right now, right? But I think that, you know, the St. Louis Blues, they, you know, one of the things, and everybody talks, oh, get pucks to the net. Get pucks to the net, but you also have to get bodies to the net. And think about the goals. You know, you look at the Tarasenko goal, the rebound, he's moving through the higher slot, buries it. You know, the Falk goal, the Robert Thomas tying goal in the last minute. They're all right there at the edge of the crease. So the puck's coming there, but they also have bodies going there. And that, to me, was something that I think was essential to the St. Louis Blues, being able to get some footing in the game where they didn't have any, and ultimately helped them win the game. Now, the Colorado Avalanche are a very good team, and I'm stating the obvious. But if the St. Louis Blues, who had well over 100 points this season, play with the same purpose and the same type of initiative that they did, I guess, in the last 25 minutes in overtime, they have a chance to get to Game 7. And I would say if they get to Game 7, all the pressure's on Colorado.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you make of this other series that I just mentioned as well, New York, Carolina? I think Freddie Anderson was back practicing. Don't think he'll be playing for Carolina unless something has popped up.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Oh, no. Why? What happened?
Just don't. Ask Craig.
Craig? What am I missing here?
I don't know. Just ask Craig.
I wouldn't even think about starting Freddie Anderson.
No, not asking if you would do that. Not at all. I mean, yeah, listen, the guy's, I mean, he's obviously
just
coming
back. Who cares if he's practicing? He's not their goalie. You know what? He got hurt. And coming back, Jamie, tell Andy how hard it is to come back from the type of injury he had. Well, and last time I looked, Freddie Anderson in the playoffs, it wasn't very stellar when it mattered.
Careful.
Here's the thing. Andy loves Freddie, which, you know, no problem. But the reality of it is he hasn't been available to his team. And, you know, to a point where Rod Brindamore was like, don't ask me about this guy because we're not sure when he's coming back. And Antti Raanta is our goaltender. So, you know, that's what Carolina's up against. They can't win a road game. They're unbelievable on home ice. Mm-hmm. So that's their biggest challenge. But they're going to have to, at some point, you know, win a game on the road. Now, they could win this series in seven at home just based on the four games at home. But eventually, if you get through, you got to win one on the road. So I don't know. It's going to be a challenge for them. But Antti Raanta is their guy. I don't think Freddie Anderson is going to be available to them. He's a guy that needs to play at 100% to feel, you know, comfortable.
180%.
Well, either way, he's not 100%. So I just don't see him.
Imagine Carolina trying to say, you know what, we met Tampa. We met that monster Vasilevsky. We're going to get rid of our goaltenders to try to upgrade, to have something different to throw at Tampa if we see them again. And you know what? They're probably going to get Tampa if they get through this series. And this guy, who the hell knows what the hell's going on? I can't even forget it. Anyway, Craig, Gord Miller said, there's this kid, what was his name, Noodles? Shapovalov.
No, he's a high, I believe he's ranked fifth in the draft, you know, behind Wright. He's a Russian player, and I called him Billy Stamobolichki. He's got a very unique name. I couldn't pronounce it. But Gord thinks that he's a stud in the making. We were asking about him, and he said you would know about him, but I butchered his name.
He said Montreal should think twice. Not like go ahead and take Shane Wright, but this guy might be a superstar.
But he's not talking about the Slovak player.
Yes,
stuff.
It's the Slovakian.
Sorry, it's not Russian. Slovak,
like,
yeah. Slovak, yeah.
Slovakian.
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean.
Slavkovsky. Slavkovsky?
Uri Slavkovsky. So he was the most valuable player in the Olympics for Slovakia when they won the bronze medal. He's a really good player, Jeff. Like, here's what I would say to you. And here's the simplest way I can put it. And,
by
and
the way, Craig, Gord said this, not us.
I know. But I'm going to say, like, and you know, I know. Like, so fair enough. So, I mean, people have opinions and have thoughts, right? But here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to talk about comparable types. I see Shane Wright as similar in his game to Patrice Bergeron. I see Slavkovsky in similar in his game to Pierre-Luc Dubois. I'm taking the Hall of Fame center over the power forward. And I think Slavkovsky is a really good player. I love him. I think he's really, but who doesn't want Patrice Bergeron? Who doesn't want a Hall of Fame center?
And I think the thing is, Dubois, Craig, what if Wright doesn't turn into Bergeron? That's pretty high standard. Like, that's the best of the best as far as two-way players. Who's going to say, I think the only thing that would make an organization question is, what if he's not Bergeron? There's never a guarantee somebody's Bergeron.
Jeff, I'm not saying he is Bergeron. I said his game is like Bergeron.
Okay.
If he ends up anywhere near Bergeron, I mean, it'll be a home run. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we all know that there's no guarantee. So I'm just positioning where the, you know, how a player plays a certain style. And I try to use an NHL player as a comparable. Not saying that he'll be that because, you know, that's probably something that's, you know, unfair because then I'll be always Bergeron. And I'm not trying to say that. But what I will say too is that teams go and they assess, okay, do we want this player? Do we want this? What does this player? I mean, I can go through Logan Cooley and Slavkovsky and Wright and Kemmel and Nemitz, and I can go through a whole lot of them. And I can say, hey, listen, any one of those guys could turn out to be a superstar perhaps. So it's not just about could Slavkovsky. I mean, Cale Makar went fourth. He's a superstar. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Did I hear anybody saying that Cale Makar should go one because he could be a superstar?
I Bobby think the Clark argument 4 years made. Later did.
Yeah, yeah. Good point by you, Jeff. Good point by you. But, you know, so I think it's good. I don't see superstar quality in Slavkovsky, personally. I don't. And I don't think Patrice Bergeron's a superstar. I just think Patrice Bergeron's that well-rounded two-way player that, you know, contributes in so many different areas of the game. So, you know, I'm not saying that Bergeron's a superstar, but I don't see that on Slavkovsky. You know, if you wanted to put my feet to the fire. If there was one player in this draft that, you know, that I don't think is going to go number one, I don't think he should go number one, but could maybe, you know, in time show that he's right close to those guys, it would be Logan Cooley, the USA centerman, who I think is a lot like Sebastian Aho. Sebastian Aho is pretty darn good.
Yeah, Cooley sitting number two. Love getting you going on scouting, Craig. We got a jet, but I'll leave you with this advice. Wear your shoes on an airplane.
I always do, Andy. I don't even want to walk up and down the aisle on my stocking shoes.
No.
Or my bare feet. No way, not happening. And as you know, Andy, I hate socks. So I usually don't have socks on when I'm traveling, which is always leisurely or you know, casually.
Oh, dear God, they're showing the video of that woman and her feet. Come on now.
That is awesome.
It is. Awesome.
Craig, we got to go. Love chatting with you. We'll talk. Enjoy the game tonight.
I will. Have a great day. See ya.
There you go. That's Craig Button joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And I hate when I drive by someone's car and the passenger has their feet up on the dash too.
I saw it yesterday. I can't believe it.
It's not safe. Yeah. Heaven forbid, even a fender bender, you're going to eat your knees. Your face is broken. Put
not
your
good.
Feet down. Stupid. Anyways.
Yeah. Not good.
Nick Nurse, Toronto Raptors, and Canada basketball head coach is going to be joining us next. I wonder if he has any airplane traveling pet peeves. We'll find out next here on Overdrive. You're listening to Overdrive TSN 1050, watching on TSN 4. Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes, Noodles O-Dog with you as always. And our next guest might be a little bit of a disappointment. I know he loves you guys, but there's no Hazy B here for him today. It's Andy P instead. So Mr. Nick Nurse, head coach Toronto Raptors, head coach Canada basketball, joining us now. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Doing good, Nick.
Now, before we get into some hard-hitting basketball, get off the rails with another topic. And I need to know if you have something that's happened to you or something that happens like while you're on an airplane that drives you crazy. We've discussed things from people not notifying you when the seat goes back, how you know, pay them back for that. People who walk around with no shoes on, and especially if they go to the bathroom, because that's disgusting with no shoes on. Is there something that people do in an airplane that drives you crazy?
I don't really think so. I mean, just maybe some seat movement from the back. You know, somebody's behind you, and there's leaning up in there, or if you happen to be unlucky enough to have a youngster. Maybe kicking on the back of your chair, which my two youngsters are absolute professionals at. So I know how that one's going for anybody that's flying around me right now. So that's the way it goes, I guess. I got a long future ahead of me in getting my chair kicked. As many shots as my youngsters are delivering on other people, I got it coming back. I got it coming back to
Watch
me
out.
Pretty soon, I think. Anyway,
Nick, when do you get time to just, like, if you were ever going to post a picture, I don't know if you're on social media, but just fishing or doing something, when do you actually get to chill out and relax?
Well, I've had a couple good, you know, I just came off of about 10 days. I was in Phoenix for 4 or 5 days, and then I went to Chicago. My niece got married in Chicago on Saturday. We decided to make about a 5-day weekend out of it there. So we kind of combined the two trips and it was good. You know, we did things for the kids. Mostly went to some baseball games, went to some museums, aquariums, played some sports, you know, a lot of batting practice, a lot of jump shots going up, things like that. Yeah.
Okay, so you enjoy, okay, 10 days, that's a good break because now we're getting back to business. And tickets actually tomorrow at 10 a.m. will go on sale for Canada's game against the Dominican Republic. It is a World Cup qualifier. That will be in Hamilton. And, you know, Nick, also what came out this week was the fact that, you know, Canada Basketball asked players to commit for 3 summers. And we know in years past that's been a big conversation, right? Because especially with all these great Canadians now making a name for themselves and playing well in the NBA, it was like, all right, well, now are you going to give back to your country? And it was never, wasn't happening a while ago. And I know there was a real turning point actually even last summer in trying to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, and Wiggins was there, and Barrett, you name all these guys, you know, showed up, and it was obviously heartbreaking overtime, a loss to the Czech Republic. But why have this contract signed? Like, what does it mean? And where do you feel that commitment level is right now with Canadian NBA players?
Well, I think that, you know, I kind of look at it as this is, you know, they hired me for this job, and I just want to get in there. And I kind of got in there, took a look around and get the feel and the lay of the land and all that stuff. And then I've got to do the best job I possibly can do. And I had a couple of runs with the team, the World Cup, and then, like you mentioned, the disappointing Victoria. And kind of my debrief, looking back on the few years that I was with the team, was this has got to be something we do if we're serious about trying to compete at a higher level. We just can't piece it together. Like, we can't just have, you know, like my thing is, you know, I had one guy, you know, from the World Cup team I coached in China, in 2019 to the team I coached last year, we had one guy that held over from that team. We had it was like a whole new team. So any of the work and all the time we put in together, and then all of a sudden it's just starting all over. And you just can't do that because the competition won't let you. You know, the team that beat us, the Czech, had 10 players. You know, they got fifth in the world at the World Cup, and they had 10 players back, you know, 2 years later, and they'd already played together, you know, 5-6 years. So you're going to lose to chemistry, togetherness, toughness in the FIBA game if you don't get guys together. So it just became clear as day to me that we had to do this and figure out a way to make it work.
Nick, Andrew Wiggins has said he wants to play but can't commit for the 3 summers in a row.
Yep.
How important is he to the program and the team, and is he somebody that you're expecting to see this summer?
No, I don't think so this summer. I think that you know, listen, I had a really good conversation with him, but he just said, I just can't do it for 3 summers. I just can't. And, you know, so I kind of laid out the parameters of what's going to happen. And I said, listen, if, you know, these guys that do commit show up, we're going to roll with them, and we're going to roll with them for 3 years. And, you know, the only way you come in is if we're short guys, which we normally are. There's injuries, there's some contract thing, there's some serious or really good family situations. You know, some guys have babies, some guys get married, whatever it is. There's some things that come up where a guy might miss a 10-day window here and there. But from our end, we wanted to, you know, if they were injured, they still need to be there in training camp. They still need to, you know, and then when they're not injured for the next window, they need to play. To honor the commitment. And the second thing is we needed direct communication with them. You know, there's just no sense in us having to talk to, you know, 15 people around them to try to get to them, to ask them if they want to play for their country. They need to, when we reach out, they need to reach out back and just, you know, tell us what's going on. So that's what we did. And with Andrew, I don't know. And I think that's where we are, everybody. I mean, it's a great example. Listen, I love Wiggins. He was great last year. I have a lot of good communication with him. Obviously, he's playing great. He's an incredible athlete. He's kind of found his groove right now. But, you know, I think that there's other guys there. If they stay together for 3 years, we'll be better. You know, the whole will be better than just the parts coming in and out. You know what I mean?
Nick, sometimes I think, like, it's so important and it's such an honor to play for your country. But back when Jamie and myself were playing hockey in the NHL, it's such a demand on the body and on the person pro sports now, and I almost don't blame a guy for saying, you know what, I can't do it. Like, the training and everything that goes into being an athlete nowadays, it's so taxing. I could see how guys, and I don't know what their excuses are or reasoning, but I could see why they would pass or say, I can't make it this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you, first of all, you're right, and we could go through probably, I don't know, at least five valid reasons, and you hit the first one. The first one is my career, my body, just got out of a long season, or I'm in the middle of a long season. Like, geez, think of these guys that play for us in the winters that are going through all this stuff in Europe and playing, and then, you know, they do have a break they could take, and they get on a plane and go play during their break. That's the first thing, and I think the second thing, which I think everybody understands, especially as these guys get more get older and more established, is they have families, and the families are going through this 9-month grind or whatever it is with them, and are really looking forward. You know, first question you guys ask me, what do you do when you get a break? I mean, they're really looking forward to you having a break, and you say, oh, I'm not going to have a break. I'm going to go play again for six, you know, whatever it is. So those two, you know, and then get into their contracts and their professional career and how they provide for their families, and then, you know, a whole other bunch of things going on like that. I give these guys credit. I mean, listen, I think that I think we're trying to work with these guys as much as we can, but we do need to try to get them together and build some chemistry and walk that line and do the best we can. That's all we're trying to do.
Nick Nurse joining us here. One more here on just international play, because going back to those Olympic qualifiers, speaking of Wiggins, I mean, he tied it up in that crucial game against the Czech Republic in the semifinal with like less than 3 seconds to go, dropping that one in overtime, 103-101. If there's one thing I noticed when I was covering that tournament, you tell me, it's just when you're taking on the European teams, you're going international, if the game just felt so different, the perimeter shots, the 3 points, like it just doesn't seem as much, you know, driving to the net. It's just very wide. What did you make of that, and how do you get like the NBA players just kind of to adjust to that type of international play?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I mean, the difference is that, I mean, in the NBA, you know, back, I don't know how many years it's been now, there used to be what's called hand checking, right, where a ball handler would go at you and you could kind of use your hand or your body or your forearm or maybe all three at the same time to kind of put them back in front of you or keep them in front of you. And now those are fouls in the NBA. So that's enables guys zip right through the lane, right to the rim. And then, what do you have to do? You have to collapse in there to protect some of that stuff, and they kick it out, and there's the wide open three. So there isn't quite as much of that, you know, penetration right off the go, and that everybody's just penetrate, kick, penetrate, kick, penetrate, kick. So it's just a little bit more physical, and we got to get used to that. We got to get used to what we can do defensively to do it. And then, more importantly, we got to get used to, you know, guys that are used to blowing by guys in the NBA, all of a sudden these guys who don't look maybe as quick or as athletic or whatever are just physically, you know, bumping and grinding with you a little bit to slow you down, and it's allowed. So adjusting to that is the biggest thing.
Sliding over to the Raptors, Pascal was named to the All-NBA third team earlier this week. You know, maybe talk to us about his growth this past season. Were you always confident that he was going to be able to rebound after, we'll call it, a tough season in Tampa?
Well, I sure was hoping he would. I think that he always wanted to. It's really great that he has. And not only that, it's kind of thrown him into a whole nother realm. I think you know how it is, you know, success sometimes breeds motivation, and now he's like, he's already back out on the court. He took a break and he hit the court this week with his workout people, and he's talking about taking it to another level, which is great. You know, I just feel like he's himself. He feels great mentally and physically, and that's exciting. I'm proud of him, man. Third team All-NBA is unbelievable honor. Scotty's Rookie of the Year. Freddie's a first-time All-Star. You know, that's a pretty good lineup of accolades individually for those three guys.
Nick, before we let you go, it's obviously been some time now since that series against the Sixers. Now that you've had time to digest it a little bit, how would you summarize it?
I don't know. I'm disappointed, but we just got so discombobulated in that first game with three guys you know, Gary was sick for the first three games of the series, like really sick. And even running him out there, you know, hindsight says it was a mistake, right? I mean, he just wasn't factor. Scotty goes down. Thad Young goes down. I mean, we were just so like swimming upstream right from the start, you know. And then we get back in it, and I thought we had a chance, but we were going to have to run the table to do it. And it's just hard to do that, right? I'd give anything to go start it over again, healthy. You know, yeah. I mean, you can't use it as an excuse, and I don't think we did. I think our guys dug in and realized, okay, we're going to have to figure something else out, but that always takes us a game or game and a half to figure out now what the rotations are and who's going to step up and who's going to take the shots and who, you know, who's going to guard who. But we got to running our schemes well, playing well. I thought we played some couple of really magnificent games there. Just didn't quite have enough.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to next season, but we also look forward to July 1st because that's when Canada takes on Dominican Republic. So a good Canada Day clash there in a World Cup qualifier. Nick Nurse joining us here on Overdrive. Thanks for taking the time, Nick.
Thanks, everybody. Great talking to you as always. Thank you. Thank you.
And there you go. The ticket's going on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. Support your team. Because a lot of the big names, like Barrett, Jamal Murray, like they signed that 3-year. They committed. So a lot of guys did. I think Wiggins really was just the only one who did not. And you heard Nick Nurse say it. He understands it. But really
Isn't
looking
Jamal
forward.
Murray injured though?
I don't know if he'll play.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he's one of the guys.
Signing the three-year deal. Yeah. Like
yeah, he signed the
commitment.
Deal.
Yeah, exactly. Brooks and Alexander, those guys apparently have committed, which is good. I mean, Wiggins seems like one of the big names who didn't, but. Yeah. You know, I think you'll find his way in there. And I think Nick left the door open. He's like, yeah, you know what? We'll, if you want to play, we'll find room. Put it that way.
Exactly.
I think right. There are certain players you make an exception for.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Noodles has a tie and blazer on. So he's got to go do a little
something.
Sports Center
hit, and I will be right back. Yes.
And then you'll be right back. We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back here on Overdrive. Hour 2 coming to a close here on Overdrive. Andy filling in for Brian Hayes. Noodles going off to do a Sports Center hit. Jeff O'Neill with me here. Lots of hockey going on tonight. We know that the Edmonton Oilers can close this out against the Calgary Flames, move on. Who will take the lead? New York? Carolina? I don't know.
Carolina's just got to start showing some stones. They haven't won a game in the road.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and if they want to take themselves seriously or other people, it doesn't matter what other people think, take themselves seriously, they got to gut one out and get a win on the road. They got to start with kind of taking their home ice advantage here, and God knows what's going to happen in net. And I know Craig talked about Freddie Anderson. They brought him in there to give them a step up on last year if they met Tampa again. They wanted to upgrade their goaltending. And he's been fantastic this year. Was an all-star. But yeah. God knows what's up with that guy. He's just nowhere to be found. Skated for 20 minutes in New York. It's like, wouldn't you think that he would be doing anything in his power to get back in the lineup? I don't know. Maybe his situation is he's got to be 110% to play. I don't know who in the world is 110% in the playoffs right now. But that's pretty disappointing if you're down in Carolina and you brought that guy in here to kind of give you a leg up and nowhere to be found. I don't know what the details are. But
you've probably seen this too. When you're an athlete, and I've seen this in some athletes, and why am I blanking on his name right now? There was a goalie that they even wanted to give a try here. Neuwirth. Wasn't it Michael Neuwirth? And then he had just dealt with so many injuries that it starts to get into your head and you feel one little niggle. You feel one little pinch, and you think that's it. Because remember Mike Babcock came out. It was preseason, and he was supposed to get the start. And Babcock was like, he pulled himself out. Like, bleh, right? Because I guess when you've been injured so many times, maybe you just start to get paranoid. And you're like, oh, I felt something. It's like, nah, you're fine, dude. You're fine. But it doesn't matter, right? Because they just don't want to go down that recovery road again.
Well, the thing with Freddie Anderson, the same thing happened in Toronto, Andy. He's like, like he was just the backup. He's like, yeah, I'm the backup. I don't know. I mean, they talked about it in the documentary. It was just like, what's Freddie Anderson's deal? And nobody knew. It's like going to see specialists. Nobody knew what the hell the guy's deal was.
Yeah. I mean,
bizarre scenario. I wouldn't be very happy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And at least all that I've heard is he's dealing with a lower body injury. So anyways, doesn't matter. That one's locked at twos. Tomorrow we'll see if Nathan McKinnon can recover from his team not really having his back in that one. That
they better. They got to get that one because you don't want to be good. Craig said it. The pressure will be straight on Colorado. That St. Louis team does not quit, and they got. I talked about Carolina showing some stones. St. Louis has got some stones.
Yeah, they do, and Colorado leads that series 3-2. So really, Tampa's like, "Okay, what's happening? What's going on? Anybody?" Says they moved on and they took care of Florida. Coming up in the final hour of Overdrive, James Duthie is going to be joining us. Yeah, we can go really anywhere with Duthie. We can have any kind of topic there. But right out of the gate, we are going to talk about the story that's really kind of consumed the day, of course, and that is Canada Soccer officially coming out and canceling that friendly against Iran. That was for their World Cup preparations. And they just issued another statement as well. Earlier today, it was just games canceled. Now they issued a longer statement. Oliver Platt from One Soccer will join us to discuss that as we head into the final hour of Overdrive here on TSN 1050.